Just as the detractors of Donald Trump's presidential campaign thought that Ted Cruz was the rising star in the polls in Iowa, along comes, well, Donald Trump. His ability, either through his actions or those of others, always winds up making it all about Trump. This time it's with the help of Sarah Palin and her endorsement. Now, while the obvious initial focus is Iowa and the caucuses, some are forgetting that success in Iowa doesn't always deliver the same in New Hampshire, South Carolina, and beyond those points. Here to discuss the GOP presidential campaign scene in Iowa, where he currently is a campaign reporter with the Washington Examiner, Al Weaver. Good morning, Al.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
WashingtonExaminer.com is where we read Al's work along with the other great journalists. Now, you know, we know what the polls are saying. We know some say it's tighter. Some have Cruz up by a point, but the margin of error, we can, I guess, average everything out and say it's a horse race between Cruz and Trump. Being on the ground in Iowa and seeing how many campaign appearances have you been able to see, and what are the crowds like for the ones besides Trump? Because we know Trump shows up, he could pull, you know, five-figure audience. What are the others doing as far as people power are concerned?
Well, when Cruz was here about 2 weeks ago, he had his big bus tour, a six-day bus tour that rolled through here, and about every event was packed. I mean, he was filling pizza ranches to the brim, you know, little Christian bookstores, places like that. I mean, yeah, they're not big venues, but every single one of them was packed. I mean, you had multiple people who even fainted in them. It was so hot and humid. But, no, I mean, Cruz has a lot of stuff going on for him in the Grim. I was just leaving one of his field offices where they have something called Camp Cruz, where they have all these people coming in from out of state, from Texas and from other parts of the country, who are coming in and literally staying here for weeks at a time to stump for Ted Cruz in Iowa. I mean, Cruz has very good operational support here. Trump, not as well. And then Marco Rubio is the other one I'd keep an eye out. He has just as far as, you know, crowd size, stuff like that, he's really doing well in that sense. He, about a week ago, he had an event here at 7 in the morning and packed a room full of 150, 200 people. So he's got a lot of excitement. Those are the three I'd watch for right now in Iowa.
And you mentioned Trump doesn't have the campaign machine completely installed in Iowa. Some are theorizing that's why Sarah Palin is going to be valued, not just for the endorsement. She can put together the machine a lot faster than most people can.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say Trump has, you know, necessarily a bad campaign team here. He's just running a very unorthodox campaign here. He's not doing the retail politicking that you normally see from, you know, like Cruz did his bus tour. Rubio's done multiple town halls. Ben Carson's been here a lot. Even Chris Christie is upped his appearances here lately. Trump will jet in for, you know, two events every 3 days. And, I mean, so far it's working for him. I mean, I guess we'll ultimately find out in about 11 days from now. But, you know, if the polls are any indicator, whatever Trump's doing right now is working and resonating.
Wasn't that because, you know, when someone's going to run for any office, any level, really, you have to establish the who I am and what I am. The who he already had. I mean, from day one, the who was fait or complete. He was top of the, you know, front of the line with that. So he just had to worry about half that battle versus the other candidates.
Yep, you're exactly right. And the what, and people are liking the what, as you say. People are liking Donald Trump right now. They talk about how he's tough on national security. They talk about tough on immigration. The one universal thing I hear is how he tells it like it is and how he's not politically correct and how he's saying a lot of things that people are afraid to say or don't have the courage to. And stuff like that is really speaking to this part of the electorate that's really just dissatisfied with everyone that they've elected over the past, you know, 6 years.
And with Al Weaver, who is the campaign reporter at the Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I alluded to this in the introduction. Last time around, it was Rick Santorum who got the win in Iowa. Before that, it was Mike Huckabee. So as of late, Iowa's king-making track record isn't really stellar. Is Iowa sort of the political Sports Illustrated cover jinx, or is Trump going to wind up making that an exception to the rule?
Well, Trump's trying to tell people in Iowa, tell voters in Iowa, you know, that I think it was the other day he was at a John Wayne's birthplace museum before he ended up rolling out the Sarah Palin endorsement. He said that he basically said to Iowans, you know, if you pick anyone else, you're going to be picking another loser.
Yeah.
And that's a constant message, is that he's the winner and that everyone else is not, and that everyone else you've been electing are losers. So why not go for me? It's it's an interesting campaign thing, a campaign statement to make at most events, but it seems to be working out for him at this point.
How much of what has been lobbed at and even perpetrated by, on shooting myself in the foot, Ted Cruz, the location of birth, the up to now unknown bank loans versus the narrative of the Ted Cruz ultimate everything putting ball in on a campaign story, the New York values, any of that sticking in Iowa that's dragging him down?
I'll tell you what, the one thing that I do think is sticking, I don't think the New York values is, I don't think people give it, care about that at all. The one thing that is sticking, though, is Terry Branstad coming out the other day and flat out saying, you should not elect Ted Cruz. I was just over at Cruz headquarters, as I just said, or at the campaign office, and the one thing they told me was that Terry Branstad's comments the other day really have sparked an intrigue here right now. They've gotten a lot of calls lately saying how, well, what's going on here with Terry Branstad? Why shouldn't I support you? Even more than the Sarah Palin endorsement. Don't underestimate what Terry Branstad said the other day. He's the longest tenured governor in American history. And at a time right now, that could play, that could be very influential in 11 days' time.
Yeah, turn back the clock. That would be like a Tip O'Neill giving a thumbs down to a candidate running in Massachusetts back in the day.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
With Sarah Palin, did Ted Cruz make a mistake with, well, not really a slam, but a negative, this sounds so juvenile in these days, apologies, but a negative tweet about Sarah, but then he later walked it back. Does that show Cruz as saying, well, everything they're saying about Trump, you can probably maybe in this case say about Cruz, he's a little overreactionary and he has to walk stuff back now?
Well, I think, in my opinion, that whole situation was played extraordinarily perfectly by the Trump campaign. I mean, it was teased for a day or so. You had Rick Tyler, Cruz's spokesman, come out and basically say it would be deeply disappointing if Cruz if Palin came out for Trump. And then you had even Palin's daughter, Bristol Palin, wrote a long blog post with it, basically saying, maybe this is why people don't like Ted Cruz. I mean, they played this to a T, and it really is baffling that these guys aren't professional politicians or politicos, for whatever the term is, that they came out and played this, absolutely incredibly, impeccably. So that was really evident in the way they rolled out Sarah Palin. It was just how much of a jab it was at Cruz.
And just as Cruz was starting to get that little extra spark and maybe get over the hump, they get the spotlight off, and Cruz has 35% of the evangelicals, Trump has 27%. With Sarah Palin on the camp Trump, if they can get that Trump number up to 36-38%, that's Iowa.
Basically, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure how much of an influence Sarah Palin has with evangelicals. I think the one segment, I'm sure there's some crossover appeal, is just the Tea Party folks. Of the Republican electorate in Iowa, about 10-15% of them the first thing that they'll identify themselves as is Tea Party. And those are the folks that Sarah Palin's going to help turn out for Donald Trump. There's a swath of the Republican electorate that does not like Sarah Palin, that thinks she's, for whatever reason, for her celebrity, for quitting being governor of Alaska, for a myriad of reasons. But there's that Tea Party strain of the party that's still there. It's still pretty popular. That still likes Sarah Palin. And those people will help Donald Trump in Iowa in a couple weeks.
Wrapping up our time with Al Weaver, campaign reporter with Washington Examiner, here on Issues and Ideas. Every campaign, every candidate, like it or not, has that what were you thinking moment when you said that. And maybe so far, at least, Cruz's could be. He was on Fox News, I guess, the other day saying that. And this was just after the Palin endorsement of Trump. He didn't say Palin by name, but you can make maybe the analogy. The GOP establishment is rallying around Donald Trump. That's why you need to support Ted Cruz, because I'm the outsider renegade campaign. I mean, what part of illogical, where do you find any kind of common sense logic in making that declaration?
Well, no, I don't think that was at Sarah Palin. I think that was at Terry Branstad.
Okay.
That was after Terry Branstad's comments, because Branstad's, he's been in office for more than 20 years.
Okay, that works. But to say the GOP establishment collectively is going for Donald Trump, that's a bit of a reach.
I don't know. I don't know. People, there are a lot of people in the establishment that do not like Ted Cruz, and he has a point about that.
Well, yeah, even Bob Dole said the other day in the Senate, he said, quote, nobody likes Ted Cruz in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, and Bob Dole also said that he was for Donald Trump over Ted Cruz, which is pretty telling. And this is the guy who was the 1996 GOP nominee. He's revered in Republican circles, maybe not conservative circles, but Republican circles. And he's also won Iowa twice. That's the other thing, being from Kansas and being, you know, big in being in the farming industry. So, I mean, it's telling. I mean, a lot of people, I think a lot of people in the establishment would go for Donald Trump over Ted Cruz. I don't think Cruz is completely wrong about that. I'd say they're completely throwing their lot in with Donald Trump. Yeah, I think that's a little bit misleading.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch. February 1st is the Iowa caucus, and we see what follows New Hampshire shortly after that. And to follow along with the campaign, get the inside stories before pretty much everyone else does. Washington Examiner and Al Weaver, WashingtonExaminer.com. Al, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.